Let us pray. Holy God, your blessings are abundant, and your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your Spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak, or persecuted, and revealing to all your glory. Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. I invite you to listen for the word of God. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim in Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Has he told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Now, a reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. Again, I invite you to listen to the word of God. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desired wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low to despise and despise in the world, things that are not to reduce the nothings. God chose what is low and despise in the world, things that are not to reduce to nothings, things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So we move to the reading from the Gospel, a familiar passage, I think, for many, from chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew. And I invite you to listen for the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, did you ever have one of those days when nothing seems to fit and you find yourself saying, "Are you serious?" And, "Oh, come on." Well, that pretty much sums up my week. And try as I may, I couldn't get the sermon to work this week. And actually, I just couldn't get my energy focused because I was attending to other matters, pastoral concerns. So I want to preach about the Beatitudes, but you have to come back next week. But because, you know, I'm assuming that you come here expecting to hear the Word of God preached, and I do believe that God manages to use my simple words in ways that I can't even begin to fathom through the work of the Holy Spirit. I said, what am I going to do? So I went back to my files of sermons. You might imagine I have one. And 6 years ago, I preached a sermon to you all that began like this. Did you ever have one of those days? You know, when nothing seems to fit, and you find yourself saying, "Are you serious?" You might hear this sermon again 6 years from now. Anyway, here's what I shared with you then, and what I, appropriately enough, I think, is what I need to share with you today. The sermon is entitled, "Don't Push the River." Don't push the river. Ever since I was 3 years old, I've always lived near water. The ocean, one of the Great Lakes, a major river. During the course of my life, I've either lived on or near the Atlantic Ocean, Lake Michigan, Lake Ontario, the St. Lawrence River, the Mississippi River, the St. John's River, the Genesee River, the Schuylkill River, the Delaware River. I've always been somehow drawn to water. That's also where I'll end up, by the way. When I die, my ashes will be scattered at sea. Now, I love the mountains, but the ocean always calls out to me. And I guess that's part of why I joined the Navy when I did. I loved going out to sea. I've told you that before. I longed to be out of sight of land. I'm a little weird. Surrounded by water. And I found there a certain peace in the midst of even in the midst of the occasional storm. I don't think that I ever feel as close to God as I do when I am at sea, when faced with the vastness of the ocean. And somehow even in that environment, confronted with that vastness, which sometimes plagues, I think, the soul, struck by the undeniable reality that we are utterly insignificant, not even a speck on the surface of the ocean, not even a speck on the fabric of creation. And yet, in the midst of that unsearchable vastness of sea and soul, I was often reminded of the psalmist's words in Psalm 8. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor, and have given them dominion over the works of your hands. Do you sometimes remember that you, in all your beauty and all your grotesqueness, your triumphs and your failures, your love and your fear, have been created a little lower than God, crowned with glory and honor? Do you claim to know that God is mindful of you, mindful of you, that God is attentive to you and to your needs? My guess is that most of us would answer that by saying no. That to say yes somehow, as good Presbyterians, to own the reality that we are an incomprehensible treasure to God, the great I am, would be nothing short of egotistical or narcissistic. How could the Creator of all there is possibly care about us, who we are, and what we do? And I suppose that you, like me, then go on to think and say, God can't possibly be concerned with me and my problems and my joys and my concerns. So I'll just go on about the business of handling things my way. I'll muddle through on my own. I don't need God's help. One of my favorite songwriter and singer is a woman by the name of Julia Fordham. And Julia wrote a song entitled River. And here are the lyrics to that song. Hey, you, pushing the river with a world there on your shoulders. Don't you remember a single thing the good book told you? Hey, you, treading the water with your head dripping out of the clouds, sinking down, 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 waving to the old crowd. And they send these things to try us, and try us they do. Don't push the river. Don't push the river, let it carry you. I know that I'm a fine one to be talking this way. I've been dragging the whole darn world behind me all day. No one said it would be easy, and they never warned how hard. And I've been licking brand new wounds and tending old scars. And they send these things to try us, and try us they do. Don't push the river. Don't push the river, let it carry you. Over the endless troubles, over the trying times, these are the words of wisdom from a restless mind. Don't push the river, let it carry you. During one of my soul-searching periods, I attended Unitarian Universalist Church and heard the words of a colleague and friend. It's called the Church on the River. And it's located in Memphis, Tennessee. The church is very simple in architectural design. The congregation sits facing the Mississippi River in an auditorium terraced style seating arrangement. The pulpit stands to the left side and literally directly in front of where the congregation sits. So just imagine the pulpit being where I am now, and this entire area here is plate glass, 30 feet wide, 80 feet wide, 30 feet high. Are you with me? Nobody looks at the pastor. Right? They're all looking straight ahead at the mighty Mississippi River. And the river flows south to New Orleans, as you know, and where it empties into the Gulf of Mexico. And part of the reason that the river is referred to as the mighty Mississippi is because its southern flowing current is very, very strong. You could start at one end, one side of the river and start to swim, and by the time you'd reach the other side, you'd probably be 2 miles down. So any commercial traffic, river traffic, going against the current, and a lot of it does, is often placed on barges, and it's pushed by these very powerful diesel tugs. And the going is slow. In fact, oftentimes the sermon would start and a riverboat would be pushing a barge and would just about make it past the window by the time the sermon was over. So that's the image that comes to mind as I think of Julia's song. Also the psalmist's words that we are so often reluctant to believe and accept. Our souls are often like those Mississippi River tugs, pushing and pushing and pushing against the river of faith and of love and of grace. But sometimes, as hard as it is for me and for you too, you have to stop pushing the river and you have to allow God to carry you. Perhaps we should resolve to let God be God a little more often in our lives. Perhaps we should remember that when we started our faith journey, it wasn't because we did something of our own accord. It was because God did something. God loved us. God offered grace to us and continually invites us to choose life and continues to invite us to choose blessing. So, my friends, when we have one of those days or one of those weeks or one of those months or maybe even one of those years, let's remember more often and believe always that God loves us beyond measure and live our lives accordingly. And let's continually and joyfully, as I tried to teach the kids, joyfully move toward the kingdom of God, a kingdom built on love and on peace and on hope and on joy and on justice. Children of God, my brothers and sisters in faith, you are precious, precious to God. You are precious to God. Created a little lower than God and crowned in glory and honor. Be reminded that we are called much more often than we're willing to allow God to be God and to trust and to release ourselves into God's loving care. Don't push the river. Let it carry you. Amen. Amen. Amen.